This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Tuesday, July 10th. I'm Jeff Bossert. Coming up, Amy Guida has this week's edition of Legal Issues in the News and a look at your AM 580 weather forecast for Champaign-Urbana. But first, today's news. Governor Rod Blagojevich held a press conference in Chicago Monday, calling on legislators to pass a law banning large gun magazines. But back in Springfield, lawmakers criticized Blagojevich for taking the focus off a budget stalemate. Amanda Vinicky has more.
The measure to ban certain clips used with semi-automatic handguns stalled in the General Assembly. Governor Rod Blagojevich issued a call for lawmakers to take action on it. Democratic Representative Lou Lang of Skokie says he favors the legislation, but he says the timing's off, and instead Blagojevich should put all of his attention on another state matter.
I, for one, believe we should be concentrating on our budget and only on our budget until we get this work done.
More than a month after a budget was supposed to be completed, the governor and legislators are no closer to reaching a consensus on the spending plan. But Democrat Ken Duncan, a House member from Chicago, says he is interested in resolving budget issues.
But I think it's important for us also, since we are here, to see to it that we play an active role gauging law enforcement and equipping them with stronger laws to ban certain weapons.
Duncan says he believes gun control measures will cut down on shootings. I'm Amanda Vinicky.
Supporters of a Citizens Police Review Board say a proposal in Urbana doesn't go far enough. They say that in addition to reviewing police handling of citizen complaints, the panel should be able to conduct its own investigations. AM 580's Jim Meadows reports on last night's committee discussion of the issue by the Urbana City Council.
Previous versions of the Citizens Police Review Board proposal gave it the power to issue subpoenas for its own investigations of citizens' complaints when it deemed the police investigation insufficient. But Urbana City attorneys took that part out. Acting City Attorney Ron O'Neill says subpoena power could mean trouble if a subpoena was disobeyed.
What power would the board thereby use to bring that person in? Would the chair of the board think that he or she might be able to jail somebody for that?
The Kerman proposal limits the Citizens Review Board to advisory recommendations based on the police department's investigation of complaints. Alderwoman Danielle Chenoweth says that wouldn't be enough to deal with serious cases of police misconduct.
If the CPRB cannot compel evidence, it is worthless. It is completely worthless, and I will not support it because it makes us look like we're doing something that we aren't doing.
Urbana council members will continue their discussion of the Citizen Review Board proposal in 2 weeks. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
The Urbana City Council ratified a new firefighters contract last night, with both sides saying they're happy with the agreement. Urbana Firefighters Local 1147 President Trent Short says one new feature of the three-year agreement is the upgrading of two positions in the department. Firefighters who drive fire trucks will be moved up a rank to engineer, and lieutenants who serve as assistant shift commanders will be promoted to captain. Short says those positions will include higher training standards and higher pay.
What this will do for our members, as they come in, they do have at least four ranks that they can get promoted through, test for, and strive to achieve. So for our people, in the past, we've had some retention issues when our rank structure was flat. This is going to give them an opportunity to stay around and want to test and want to be part of our program.
Urbana Fire Chief Rex Munt says all firefighters will receive annual raises over the life of the contract in line with other city employees. Both Munt and Short say the new contract was negotiated relatively quickly without the need for an outside negotiator. Urbana firefighters ratified the contract last Thursday. The Sierra Club is challenging the state's decision to issue an air permit to a proposed Central Illinois power plant. The appeal was filed yesterday with the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency Environmental Appeals Board. The Sierra Club claims the state EPA failed to require pollution controls that would limit the Central Illinois project's global warming emissions. The state issued the permit last month through Christian County Generation LLC for the Taylorville Energy Center. Independent power producer Tenaska is Christian County Generation's managing partner. Tenasca Vice President Greg Kunkel says the company was disappointed by the Sierra Club's action, but that the group's appeal isn't expected to significantly delay the project. Two top lawmakers say Indiana Governor Mitch Daniels' suggestion for a special session to deal with property taxes is premature. But both Democratic House Speaker Patrick Bauer and Republican Senate Tax Committee Chairman Luke Kenley say they approve of Daniels' efforts to find a way to limit big increases in property taxes. Bauer says the governor is afraid to rule out a special session. He says there's little more that lawmakers can do to ease property taxes. Daniels says a state agency will allow counties to permit homeowners to pay their property taxes in installments and to extend bill due dates. Another agency will give counties loans to bridge the gap. Kenley says those steps will be a big help to homeowners. For the latest newscast online, go to wiol.uiuc.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Jeff Bossert. At least one study shows that the number of unprovoked shark attacks has grown steadily during the past century. And when someone is injured, a lawsuit can follow. As commentator Amy Guida explains in this week's edition of Legal Issues in the News, lawsuits concerning shark bites aren't particularly successful, and that's been the trend for more than a century.
What's with the sharks? To quote the International Shark Attack File, the number of unprovoked shark attacks has grown at a steady rate over the past century. The same group says that there were 96 incidents worldwide in 2006. Florida had the highest number in the United States with 23 separate attacks. You turn to the Weather Channel to see a weather report and see a shark report instead, as I did a few summers ago, and you know something's up. When the shark bites, someone must pay. Sharks, they swim off and never take responsibility for their actions, so plaintiffs are forced to look elsewhere. Even back more than 100 years ago, in 1903, a sailor traveling from South America to Savannah, Georgia, fell off the ship one night. A shark bit him. His colleagues pulled him back onto the ship and tended to his wounds as best they could. But the ship's captain decided not to change course or to head to a closer port. So 3 months later, when the ship finally reached Savannah, the sailor went to see a lawyer and sued his employer. The trial court awarded him $1,500 for what it called his unspeakable agony, indeed torture. But the appellate court was not so alarmed. It found that the captain's decision to press on had had no effect on the sailor's recovery. The sailor suffered, sure, but he got better before the ship ever would have reached a port. Sorry, sailor, recovery denied. Sorry, too, in a more recent case, to a man who worked for a shark handling company. He agreed to help move a shark that had outgrown a tank at what the court called a shark club. The shark, as you might imagine, had grown quite fond of his home and lashed out at those moving him. The employee, boasting a fresh shark bite on his arm, sued the shark club and blamed it for his injuries. But he lost. The court found that, sure, when a club keeps, harbors, or owns a dangerous animal like a shark, the club is usually strictly liable for resulting injuries like shark bites, except when someone agrees to move the shark and take hold of it himself. In legal terms, that means that he assumes the risk of dealing with the biting animal. The court found shark bites an occupational hazard of shark handling and allowed no recovery. And it's usually the same result for the complete innocent, the person who goes swimming and is attacked by a hungry or annoyed or distracted shark. No recovery. That's what a Florida court decided a few years ago. A boy went swimming and a shark attacked him just off a city beach. The boy sued the city for his injuries. The court decided that the city had no warning that sharks were swimming about and that a shark attack wasn't foreseeable to anyone under those circumstances. Besides, the court noted, no one's really responsible for wild animals' actions as long as no one has taken possession or harbored the creature. So what's with the sharks? We know one thing for sure. If you're ever the unfortunate victim of a shark bite, you'll need a real shark of a lawyer to recover anything. I'm Amy Guida.
Amy Guida is an assistant professor of journalism and law at the University of Illinois. In the forecast for East Central Illinois, expect partly sunny skies today. There's a chance of showers and thunderstorms, the high around 90. Showers and thunderstorms likely this evening, then a chance of showers after midnight, the low in the mid-60s. Mostly sunny tomorrow. There's a chance of showers and thunderstorms in the morning. Not as warm. The high around 75. Wednesday night, mostly clear with a low around 58. Mostly sunny Thursday with a high around 80 degrees. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Tuesday, July 10th. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, the afternoon magazine, agricultural programming, as well as other helpful information at our website, wiol.uiuc.edu. I'm Jeff Bossert, AM 580 News.